What's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have Tom Cotter from Letterman, America's Got Talent. And here we discuss when it's time to have kids, when it's time to check your ego, being corporate, and performing at a swingers convention. This was a good one. I like Tom a lot. He's a really good dude. Funny dude. Check him out.
Some perspective on having kids, too.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
The Patreon is on Much Up. Yo, support us, man.
Yeah, check out the Patreon. Also, another thing we can, if you can love the show, help us out. Give us some 5-star reviews on iTunes. That helps us get the show out there. And if you give a 5-star review, there's a good chance we might read it on air. So here we go. I'll read one on air from KG2323. He writes, Dante is a 5-star review. Dante is a smooth conversationalist. You definitely pick up a few tricks of the trade if you're a guy looking to up your game. So thank you, KG2323. And again, if you want to hear your 5-star reviews read, just leave us a 5-star review. There's a chance we'll read it.
The Sectionist Revolution is being podcasted. You are now tuned in to
Beige Philip.
Look out! Relationships and sex is the only two things that a guy is supposed to be good at when he has no practice. And then you're told not to be womanizer, to get the practice that you need to be good at.
Genius. True wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how they relate to situations that seem irrelevant, but really are not.
Superb. As a man, you have to be strong enough to protect yourself from her emotions. You have to be strong enough to protect your relationship from her emotions. And that means to look at everything and be and assess it in terms of what's real and what's not real and what's just her emotional state at the time.
Perfect.
If you want to know how to hunt a deer, you ask the hunter. You don't ask the deer. The deer is being the deer. He doesn't know anything else but how to be, which is being her. As a hunter, I need to study her patterns and her behaviors so that I can put this bullet in her. And by the bullet, I mean this dick.
You know the rest.
Like, we all get got. Everybody gets got. Everybody goes through these bad situations, these relationships, and we try to learn from it. And sometimes we're too close to it that we can't even step back and learn from it. What's going on, GYBB? Get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sectional Revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited.
Nice.
Yes, I am. Harry, how you been, baby?
Oh, I'm doing great, Dante. You know, having a tough time keeping these gators down, but other than that.
It is difficult, but practicing makes it easier.
That's
I say that right?
Pimping is hard, but it's easier with practice.
Yeah, that's something like that. It was something like that. Dre, how are you?
I'm good. Trying to eat. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Ready?
This is a good show. It's a lot of masculine energy in here. There's a lot of dad energy in here, too. Me included, motherfuckers.
Oh, now, finally.
You useless pieces of shit. You don't do shit for the fucking species.
Now,
I am
good.
Doing
it.
I'm not adding another kid. You guys are polluting the planet.
Shut up. Let me get
more
this.
Than enough.
This dude, funny dude, been on everything. Comedy Central and fucking Letterman. America's Got Talent. Give it up for my boy, Tom Cotter, y'all. Give it up for Tom Cotter.
Greetings.
What's up, Tom? It's good to have you here, man. Second time on the show.
Second time.
We had a ball last time.
Like herpes, I'm back.
You know, that's it. Comes, never goes.
No, man. You looked at your restraining order, and here I am.
Yeah. It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
And always get a
congratulations on your
you,
kid,
brother.
Man. That's unbelievable.
Thank you. I appreciate you know, whenever I see you, you're one of those dudes, I always get a good feeling. You know what I mean? It's like, we should hang out more.
Yeah. And here we are.
It's awesome. I saw your boys. Your boys are getting so big.
Yeah.
Both of the twins are going to college.
Yeah.
Holy
that's
going to
be a kick in the balls with ski boots on, man.
Oh,
that's,
man. Where they going?
Don't know yet. They like Boston College. One of them likes UT Austin. One of them likes University of Colorado because he wants to snowboard. So he's going to be a pothead.
Anybody?
any of these bastards heard of state schools?
Yeah, no shit.
You know?
In New York. That's the only thing we saved for was we promised them that we would put them through school if they got into a decent school.
That's a good thing. Wow. That's a good deal.
Well, that's yeah. My retirement is a metal detector on a beach. That's what it is. But this is yeah. We did put that away. And yeah, they do sports. Harry plays lacrosse.
Okay.
So does Cam, but Harry plays.
Can
at,
he get a, you
a
think
different
he get
level?
A couple years out of that.
I think it'll help him get into a Division III school. Mm-hmm. You know, with a good lacrosse program. I don't know if they'll give us any more of a financial reward of it. Or no. About anything,
does lacrosse have a professional thing?
Oh yeah, they do that too. Yeah.
It's not huge, but they do indoor lacrosse.
It's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the national sport of Canada. Everyone thinks it's hockey. It's not. It's lacrosse.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Fun fact.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I know that fucking Quidditch has a...
Quidditch.
It has a real far. They have a national...
So far, I only
fucking
know...
An international? No!
Oh, for real? Now that kids are actually playing Quidditch?
I
see what you're talking about.
I see you've been behind the...
How do you fly?
They
fly?
Put a broom in between
like
their legs.
And they run around?
They run
I don't
around
know that colleges
you have to have the broom between your legs. And they just run around with a broom,
Andre,
with a big-ass broom between their legs.
We got to get you to college. You got to start training Quidditch. We start training tomorrow.
I'm going to beat them with
the broom. Whatever you got to do.
The fuck? Right.
Whatever you got to do to be throw some elbows.
Shaq Diesel out that bitch. I'm ready.
You got a broom. Andre will have a fucking Dyson.
That's cheating. I like
hey,
it,
man.
But yeah, man, but that'd be cool, man. Would you want him to go? Or you don't think he'll get no money for it on a Division III?
Don't know yet. Don't know. You know, one of them's better academically, so he'll get some kind of financial help reward. But the other one is a jock, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, but they're good-looking kids. Here's my thing.
Mom's genes are strong.
Yeah. Hey, you're a good-looking guy, Tom. Stop it. Come on.
A dwarf.
Come on.
They're both taller than me. They were taller than me in fifth friggin' grade.
Last time I saw you, they're towering over you, Jesus. Yeah. That's because they put steroids in the chicken. My pops was 5'2", dude.
Really?
Yeah, 5'2".
I like your dad.
Yeah,
did I ever mention that? He and I make cookies in a hollow tree together. That's fine.
He was like hated being short. No. Like he was one of those dudes that would go, what are you, like 6'10", 6'11"? What are you, like 7'6", 6'6", huh?
I think I'm like 5'9".
What are you, 250, 300 pounds? What are you, 350?
Angry.
He just would always do that thing. And the thing about it, they all bowed to him like he was a fucking god. Never even paid it. Just spent so much time. What are you bench with those big arms, huh? My pops was a slave deal. Let me see
that's
those teeth.
Right.
God, man, dingo fighting?
Yeah, he was crazy, dude. That's a weird thing. Was that a problem for you, Tom?
No, but did your dad ask these questions at a urinal, too? Because that's awkward. What are you packing down there?
What you got? I bet you got a tar paper under there. He might have said that. Yeah, my problem is highly inappropriate.
He was angry. Yeah.
You got
he
a son,
make
though.
It uncomfortable.
Yeah, man.
Takes a man to make a man, buddy.
Yeah.
Well done.
You hear that? Ladies?
I mean.
I ain't got no kids. I'm stressed. I'm good.
Yeah.
That you know of.
Nah.
Yeah, so we all have that. Waiting for
you
that phone call.
You left it in. You know, Rondell found it. He didn't find his daughter until she was like 12.
Really?
Yeah. He was He called me and said, man, I got a daughter. I was like, wow, congrats. He's like, nah, I got a daughter.
Jackie Flynn. You're Jackie Flynn?
No.
He's funny. He's been in all the Farley movies. He got that call.
Oh,
he banged a stripper years and years ago in Florida, and the stripper told the daughter, your dad's a comedian, and so the little girl would always watch Comedy Central and everything else, and every time she'd be like, Mom, is this him? And this is him for 8 years, nothing. And then finally, she pointed when Jackie was on, and the mother, the stripper, started crying, and the girl knew right away, and then the stripper goes into rehab, and Jackie has to take, you know, custody of the kid, which did not please his wife and the other two daughters. So just a big drama.
Jackie Mason?
No, Jackie Flynn.
Jackie Flynn.
Yeah. Out of Boston. Comic out of Boston. Lives in L.A. now.
Wow.
But yeah, man, I'm waiting for that phone call, too. We were all dirty dogs back in the day.
Yeah,
and I don't,
but it's, how old
by
you
now,
know?
They'd have to be a 20-year-old girl, I think.
If you didn't get the call yet, you're probably okay now.
You're in the clear now.
Yeah, Rondell got his call about 5 years ago.
I like
that. Right at the sweet spot.
For you're like, hey, when's the baby due? He's like, negative 8 years ago. It's here, bro.
He's like, I got a daughter. Yeah. I was like, all right, I guess.
Wow.
But it was it was interesting, man. I was really ready. I was really, and I was like, I'm so brilliant. Where am I going to leave all this knowledge?
Yeah.
Somebody, I got to put it in. I got to download this into somebody. I've already filled Andre's head. He's over capacity already.
Ain't no more space. No backup, no hard drives. This is it.
He got an old gateway. 16 gig gateway. But and everybody's always like, oh man, I must be crazy. I mean, because you're 53 years old, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm not making the mistakes you make.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't, and you get you just know what to do. Like, as soon as the situation comes, you go, oh, this is,
yeah,
do this, do this. Even when you find out with your kids that you tell them, you know what's going to happen, you tell them what's going to happen, and they go, ah.
Oh, yeah.
Everything
I say is BS, you know, in their mind. So then it happens, and I don't, you know, I get to play a little I told you, but.
Do they get that you told? It's
yeah,
weird.
Usually. I don't, you know, I don't throw in their face unless I have to,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, man. 53 is nothing. Tony Randall was 75 or something when he had a baby, yeah.
Larry King.
Larry King's another one, yeah.
It's like everybody asks me, well, what if fatherhood, how did it change you? How did it change? And I'm like, it didn't.
Not yet.
I mean, but I'm just saying in general, it's like, I know what this looks like. I mean, I've been with other girls and raised other kids and stuff as well. And it's just, but it's like, I always say when girls, guys always wonder why young girls date older guys. It's because I got a guy. I always have a guy. The mirror fell off your BMW. I got a guy.
Yeah.
If you sink leaks, I got a guy.
Yeah.
You need, is this asbestos?
That's fair. Because if it's me, we calling TaskRabbit together. I don't know. We both going to be on Google trying to figure this shit out. I don't know. There's like certain stuff that I know how to do myself. Your tire blowouts and shit like that.
That's Jamaican.
I can do shit myself. But like if it's out my scope, all right, yo.
Everything's
gotta go
my
get
scope.
Somebody,
but you gotta. I mean, you think because you forge these relationships.
Yeah.
I remember I was dating a stripper and they kept stealing her mirrors. Like, she lived in the Bronx, and they kept stealing the mirrors off her car. And I was like, "Yo, go see my man Poppy. I spoke to him. Blah 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 blah." But they keep stealing these. 175. She's Dominican. Then she's 175. She's Chinese.
Yeah.
These are Dominican. And I was like, go see my man. He'll hook you up. So he used to do they used to steal all the mirrors off the car, off cabs. And so, you know, the cabs would put this little metal thing around the.
So you can't do it.
So you can't steal it. I just put the BMW. Oh, thank you. I haven't bought no mirrors in 3 weeks. See? Because I got a guy.
Because you had a guy.
You got to have a guy. That's the appeal, and that's the thing when you understand as a father things that you guys don't understand at all.
Oh, it's gonna get old real quick.
You are in father age,
I guess.
You can go ahead and spring one off.
I don't know, man.
I told you,
37.
Oh yeah, you're there.
I'm there, but I don't. Part of me wants to have kids, except the having kids part. It seems like a pain in the ass.
You know, you don't actually have to. I mean, you got the tits, but you don't.
You're a real piece of shit. You know that? Piece of shit. I want my Pampers back. The Pampers I got your baby.
Shit.
I don't care if they're used
funny.
Either. Go get them.
Nigga said you had birthing hips. That's crazy. How you gonna talk about him like that?
You gonna just pile on? You piece of shit. You think he didn't notice that you add your own punchline? You piece of shit.
You doubled back. You dumb motherfucker.
A lot of love in this room.
I don't know. It seems like when people have kids, and I have two brothers. They're both younger than me. They both have, now each of them has like 5 kids all together, right? And I go over there, and I don't know if it's everybody or just them, but it's a fucking chaotic, just kids jumping around, stomping. It's like a fucking house party going on until they all pass out together. And it just seems like their lives are a wreck.
They're young, though. They're young, and they don't get it. Like you,
yes, man.
Tom will tell you there's a tone that you have when you have had enough, and you use the tone, and they don't your boys freeze They know what the fuck time it is.
Yeah, I never yell at my kids. I prefer like a creepy whisper from under their bed in the middle of the night because that's very effective. Yeah, we're not traditional parents.
Yeah,
we tease them a lot. We tase them a lot because you can't hit your kids. We don't hit our kids. They choke them out. They always tap because they're pussies. But it's just good parenting. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you get that. My boy's kid across the street. He's very spirited. Very, very spirited.
That's a kind word.
He's a very spirited kid.
He's hyper.
He's just very. He's a lot. He's a banger. And and he was climbing on a on one of like an office chair that spins.
Yeah.
And just instantly, you know this is gonna happen. He's gonna talk.
He's gonna fall down.
Right. And I go, and he don't listen to nobody. And I'm like, yo, get down from there. And he stopped. Looked like, oh. You mean it. And he just was like, then he shook it off and he just kicked some kid and ran off and kicked some other kid. But you know, there's that. You know what I mean?
It goes way back, man. I mean, the silverback would yell at the new, you know, that's what you do. The biggest, you know, lion in the pride growls a certain way and everyone says, oh, shit. He means business. So, yeah, we have that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
The only thing, I mean, I go back and forth on it because I love the idea of having kids, and then there's just everything I haven't accomplished yet that I'm afraid, because you have to give it your all, right? I mean, you guys are dads.
It does cock block your career a little bit,
right?
Mostly for women. You know, they have to take my wife's a comic, and she had to go basically do a maternity leave and kind of leave the business for a little while because, you know, twins was a pain in the ass. Yeah. But, yeah, it does get in the way, but I don't think it interferes. You know, I used to tell Kerry I didn't want to get married because Letterman wasn't married at the time.
Right.
Letterman has a great career. He's not married. Why do I? And then he got married.
And yeah. Like, fuck.
There goes my argument. So, yeah, you know, it's part of life. It's when you're ready, if you feel like it, it'll happen. If not, you'll be fine. You're a good uncle, right?
Yeah, I tried.
And the other thing is you don't have to have that chaos like that. That's not the norm. Like every
it seems like crazy
brothers.
That's true.
And they're fucking maniacs before the kids though.
I went in there. The 2-year-old was just stomping his feet on the ground like he was just air stomping, not reaching for anything. Like he was stomping a dude out just to have that much energy and running around. But I get it. It's there. It's them the way they raise it. He's chaotic. They have no control.
That was you one day, too. You know,
we
were all like that when we were infants and toddlers.
But it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, I know that you have to, the responsibility of it is you got to give all of yourself to that. Right,
you got
to
make sure that kid does not die. That's basically your job.
It's a huge. I can barely do that for myself. I don't know if you see my cholesterol. It's all up there.
Pretty up there.
It's up there. And now I got to tell
this
another.
Looking like Jordan numbers.
I'm going for the record all time. But yeah, man, that's the part that scares me. Of like, also the other thing now is I'm watching the new generation with all the technology stuff. So you're going to experience this. I have no idea how you're going to deal with this, of the iPad and shit. Like, the little ones, they all have iPads.
Right.
Now, like, the 2-year-old, the 1-year-old, they're just playing with iPads. And then how do you go from that to, like, then them having a phone? Because it used to be, like, you didn't get a phone until you were 13.
Yeah, but, I mean, well, first of all, the iPad is, like, everything you have a problem with solves a thing. Yeah, how many kids, you know, just they keep they literally have control over their kid because of the iPad. You go to IHOP or something, and they're sitting. The kids are sitting there with their iPad, not even fucking running around because they're, you know, and
yeah. But the problem is the downfall from that later on is they don't want to do anything but the iPad. So now you're like, hey, we got to go outside.
I mean, he still plays with his sons, throws the football and shit like that.
Yeah,
so
there are times. Yeah, you know, the electronic babysitter is alive and well, and that is a gift from God. Because when I went on long road trips when I was a kid, we played the license plate game. We read a book. Now they can watch a movie and do all that stuff. So it really is a godsend. But you know, we take it away from them. Their phones are the number one things we take away from the teenagers. But before that, it was the iPad, and that's worse than grounding or anything.
Yeah,
they want it back hard, so they'll kiss our ass. Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, sometimes kids really want to go outside and throw a football. And they really do want to go out and get on the trampoline, or you know, go bang the chick next door, or do something. something other than the iPad. So that hasn't been an issue with us.
But you've always been a physical dude. You've always been in shape and always stay in shape and stuff. So, I mean...
For a little dude, yeah.
In general. But, I mean, anytime I see you with your sons, you're throwing a football and fucking around. It's like a good time. And it's just like... Tom's one of the reasons why I was like, yeah, I could do this. You know what I mean?
You could definitely do it.
Because we...
You are doing it.
Right, but
If you don't pull out, it's happening.
Oh, yeah. But
that's the other thing. You don't have a choice sometimes.
right. Well, the condom. I mean, I do have some choice in it.
Well, condoms break, buddy.
If you can't just assume that everybody's like your niece that's air stomping, curb stomping people, because that's a reflection of the people that are raising them.
I just want to get a video next time and put hardcore music underneath.
Yeah, instinct is very strong too, and that kicks in too. You become it's something in your brain. Yeah. You're hardwired so that rise to the challenge when it does happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you don't have a choice.
I realize that there's a different energy. Like if he doesn't cry a lot, but if he's hungry or he's like stomach is fucked up or got gas or whatever, he gets a little cranky. And I realize that there's a different energy that I give that quiets him down where there's other energy. Like if I'm not really focused on him, he'll just keep crying. Until he feels me like
the attention.
To connect with him. Then he'll instantly stop. And it's a weird.
And that's not verbal. That's a brainwave to brainwave.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And then you find how's your guys with the girls? Your boys with the girls?
They're
knocking it down. Yeah.
Just today we paid for their post prom party. The prom's not until May, but I had to buy the post prom party, which I know is going to be filled with debauchery and drinking and smoking pot and everything, and I'm paying for it, which makes
you
me
are
a bad
funding
parent.
You didn't get invited.
I'm funding Al Qaeda somehow, you know. But they are players and. But Kerry and I both
He's got an awesome smirk when he's it's
got to be weird because you're a dad and they're boys, so you're very happy about it. And
I am, but my oldest brother was kind of a fuck up when he was young. Can I swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was sent to a military school in Florida. His junior year of Admiral Farragut Military Academy in St. Petersburg, Florida, he knocks up the police chief's daughter, Chief Sauer. His name was Chief Sauer. Knocked up his daughter, and my dad had to get on a flight and go down there, and they had to negotiate what they were going to do.
Because
the guy was like a Christian dude, and they eventually decided to abort the pregnancy. But that messed with my dad. So the next oldest brother and myself, I'm the youngest, were lectured from day one. You know, if you get a girl pregnant, you're on your own. Yeah, don't let this screw up your life. Yeah, yeah. And I pounding that into my kids' heads too.
Right.
Because
how old was it when you had that talk with them? Because that's the other thing I think about. Like
with my dad?
No, not with your dad.
Oh,
well,
with my
how
kid.
Old was your dad when he had the talk with you? And then how old were you?
As soon as he got off the plane from St. Petersburg, he sat us down. He's like, I just went through hell.
He had a Pan Am coffee cup in his hand. Listen. Yeah. Turn the TV off. Turn off the A-team.
So,
we got to talk down.
As soon as I knew that they were sharper than we had feared they were, you know, they learned stuff from the internet. They learned stuff from friends. So I just said, look, you know, treat a woman with respect. You know, you don't want to get labeled a prick. And then the other thing is, you know, you be careful because one mistake can follow you around for the rest of your life. Yeah. Literally follow you around for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And they got it, I think, so far. Now watch, next week they'll both knock someone up and I'll be
now,
full of shit.
But I mean, the mistakes happen, but I mean, you give them the tools that they need and then you got to kind of step back and see if the joke works.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're 17. A year from now, it's their own problem.
Yeah.
But hopefully we won't get to that point.
Yeah. They're good dudes. I mean, I just talking to them, they're real level-headed dudes. But, I mean, that just, you know, there's still traps. You know, like these hoes be trapping motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard.
Oh, yeah.
But there's that, too. And you know, I remember when that, 17 and Pregnant on MTV came on. There were girls getting pregnant
on purpose,
trying to be on the show.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So it's
you gotta shoot your shot.
Yeah, You got to work with what you got.
Yeah, I
got
to work with what you got.
You know the show Ridiculousness?
Yeah, they
always say, you know, we won't accept your videos or whatever. They should do that for that show. Okay. Say, we will not accept your
children.
We don't want your kids.
Yeah.
Do not get knocked up to get on this show. It won't work.
A whole epidemic of that where these girls were friends and just getting
Well, these girls, you know, from whatever, that they're fucked up childhood and they want some attention. Yeah. And that maternal instinct kicks in because, you know, in the Middle Ages, when you were 13, you were pregnant. Yeah. You know, you were 13 and 14. That's when you – so you were married at 12. Yeah. You know, it was messed up. So your body is ready.
Yeah.
Plumbing's in at 13, as they say.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have that thing kicking around in the back of their head that whole time.
What do the boys want to do? They know what they want to do.
The smart one's oldest by 2.5 minutes. The oldest wants to be an engineer.
Nice.
And Harry just wants to chase skirt and party and play lacrosse. So in that order, I think. So who knows?
Grunk.
Yeah.
Gronkowski.
It's not a bad life if he can do it. He's not 6'7".
Fucking smack Steve Harvey's face off the shit like that. Out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Patriots could have used Gronkowski this weekend. Jesus. That was a debacle.
Oh, man.
You guys have been fine. You've had enough. Six Super Bowls.
We have. Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying. You know, we lost to Miami the last game of the season at home. Miami's horrible.
Yeah.
And they beat the shit out of us at home. So I was like, we're limping into the playoffs and we're going to get beaten. And sure enough, wild card round, gone. It's all right. I'm not bitching.
Your feelings were hurt.
Yeah. What kind of dad was your dad
to you guys? You know, he was an absentee dad. My dad was a neurosurgeon, so he was very busy. He was on call at 7 hospitals, so he was always away. He came to one wrestling match my entire youth. Never made it to a lacrosse game or anything. And
but it's also that was kind of the era. How old are you now?
I'm 56 now.
So, like, that's the era. Your dad just...
I don't got time for all that crap.
Look, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
I got to get up and put some food on the table.
Come home, drink a Manhattan, pass out, and get up and be in the operating room at 8 o'clock in the morning again. That's what they did. Yeah. You know, you would go to see my dad's office. He's a doctor. Both of the secretaries in the front were chain smokers, and my dad smoked a pipe. You would go to the doctor, and you would walk into a goddamn cloud, honest to God.
Hilarious.
And I smelled like cigarettes the first 10 years of my life because the windows were always rolled up. My mom smoked. Oh, my dad smoked a pipe. My stunted growth is pretty much
Are your brothers taller, though?
No, well, I'm the youngest of six, and I have one sibling. The oldest girl is the only one shorter than me.
Wow.
Yeah, both my brothers. One's 5'11", one's 5'10-ish, and my dad's 6. And so I was the runt of the litter. You know?
Yeah, it's
huge
it's,
cock, though. Yeah. For the size of me.
I've heard.
Comparatively.
Proportionally.
You know, for a weasel, it's a really big... No.
It's like putting a human dick on a hamster.
it's really not sad.
I'm just imagining trying to run on the wheel. With keep tripping on his own dick.
The dick gets caught in the spindle.
Get caught up and spinning around.
Either that or it makes that sound when you put a baseball card in a bicycle.
Just dragging.
That's a Dominican hamster, nigga. That's
funny.
God damn, it's... I don't know, man.
But it's funny because your dad was born what year? What year was he born?
1923.
So mine's 1920.
Right now.
So you didn't... That wasn't... There was no self-actualization and self-introspection. You just tried
just
to
get
keep,
up and go.
Yeah, you worked and you fucking... You worked until you died.
Yeah, he worked his ass off, too. I mean, he really did work hard. So I don't begrudge him for being an absentee dad. He was trying to put 6 kids through school and keep us fed and stuff. So that's fine.
And my dad was the youngest boy of 16. It's like, how the fuck you... Shit. How do you even fucking... Because, you know, that generation before was...
They was making kids to, like, just the number.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because how else you going to eat? You got to own your own factory, you know?
They didn't have cable, so they were fucking back then.
My pops used to bootleg... he was a... My grandfather was a...
hooch.
He used to bring the hooch in from Canada on the railroad. Like my grandmother had she had this huge overcoat with like 16 pockets in, and he would put all the bottles of hooch in, put the overcoat on, and then
she'd get busted. I don't know her.
She she's too busy home pulling her uterus up and home strapping her uterus
60
up.
Kids. 60 holy
kids.
Shit.
Yeah, 8 boys, 8 girls.
Wow.
And it's like, what I always say that's, you know, like every one of my father's sisters or brothers were married at least twice, and each one of them have at least 5 kids between both marriages, and a couple of them has 10 kids, one had 7 kids.
Damn.
But it was a lot, you know, and then they remarried. So I was going to funerals, from the time, like, that was a thing we did. That's how we met our cousins, by going to funerals. If you figure 16 aunts and uncles times 2 marriages, 16 is 3 times 16 is 30, 40.
It's a fucking herd is what 8. It is. Holy shit.
48 people.
Yeah.
And they're dying. we went, I'm like.
Weddings, I'm assuming, too. Weddings too, and funerals.
Weddings and funerals and christenings and stuff like this. But we, you know, when.
I hope you guys did, like, gift swapping at Christmas. That's
no, we did it at the
gift.
Funerals.
It's better? Oh, now you got stuff. You're like, all right, who wants this old rocking chair?
And we'd go to. Dibs. I would go to the funeral, and then there would be some kid in a stroller, and I'm like, it's a new cousin. Like, just new, that I didn't even know I was aware of. And so, you know, it's like, you know, like, guys who, you know, Chris Cotton passed and Angelo passed, and it's you know, these, I was really close to those dudes, but it's, you start to learn that nobody gets out of this alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all, and so to
we're
be
all getting clipped.
Yeah, everybody, you don't win this game. Nobody wins it. The only way you win it is if you live your life in a way where you find some kind of happiness and some kind of joy and some kind of fulfillment. That's how you win it. And I was saying that to, you know, people, you know, friends of Angelo. I was like, you know, the dude, he lived his life by his terms. He did stand up. He got on TV. I mean, how many people could never have gotten that? They never achieved that level. Even the kid Chris Cotton was 32. He had a daughter coming in February.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
I was like, how many guys, friends of his, didn't make it out of Philly?
Yeah.
Never picked up the mic and actually did stand-up. Never moved to New York. Never got a job with Comedy Central. Never was writing for, you know what I mean? Like, I get you want more, but we always want more.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, you still want more. You know, I mean, but you want it on your terms. And so I've always learned that just from me going, death is a part of the cycle. And not to push it away so it hits me in a way that...
No. And to your point, you now have a 4-month-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get life insurance and
stuff,
right?
Yeah. I already got the life insurance. I mean, because, you know, I worked for the phone company for 26 years.
Oh, all right. Then you're
cool. So, but, I mean, it was... You know, and you go... I will say this. At 53, I was like... I wasn't, like, ready to die, but I was also like... Yeah, man, I had a pretty good run.
I'm like that now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If a tree falls and crushes me, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's also because your kids got to go to college. You're like,
I want to
get out of this.
That's fucking funny.
Leave that to the wife.
Yeah.
Let her use the life insurance.
I feel like you'll see the tree and just slightly step over it.
Say, look, then you don't have to worry about this. You get the life insurance, the college is paid, they got a down payment on the house. It's a good deal. What the fuck?
And I'm taking an eternal nap. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, man. I've never been suicidal, but I have been on the plane where there was turbulence, and I was like, I could not pay the American Express this weekend. You know what I mean? Like,
nah, I ain't there yet. I still got shit I want to see and do.
You're 12.
You're young, dude.
Yeah.
You got a whole life ahead of you.
That's the other thing for me with the kids. I get scared about of like
what,
taking
not having
that.
Them?
No, just like take that. Well, there's not having them and being too old and not having anyone to take care of you when you're old. Not really a great reason to have kids. I don't think it's like
no.
Because also you don't even know if they'll do it. My two brothers are bags of shit.
Yeah.
My parents start getting sick. I don't even know how that's going to work.
You know how it's going to work. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm lousy at that. That's the thing. Ugh.
Lousy at what? You're really good with your grandfather. You always.
I'm good with him while he's. Well, hey, listen, I just go over there and watch some Netflix with him while, you know.
What Harry
while we
talking
sit
about
together.
Is wiping that ass.
Yeah.
Harry don't want to feed nobody.
You know what?
All
I'm not
shit.
Even. I'm fine with wiping the ass. The paperwork of the Medicare, all that shit. Trying to figure out how to get them. I'd rather wipe an ass than try to.
Where your dyslexia really is going to fuck
with you. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm worried about.
You
got to
read insurance plans.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
I don't know. That's the scary part of it. But then there's the other thing of having kids and then being like,
just not having the career you want to have, being able to be out as much, because it's just hard to be out as much. It's
yeah,
going to happen.
You're 37. You've already been out.
I'm not
haven't
done,
you
though.
Done all that?
No. No? Not, no, I don't mean like getting
doesn't
out.
Doesn't mean it's
and
over. It just means you're
carousing, but I mean just like, you know, I still don't feel like I've given it enough energy. And then to have like a life that you have to give that energy
Tom,
to.
Tom, what's the biggest thing you did in comedy? The thing that really made you go, ah, this is the thing?
AGT was probably the, you know, for me, doing The Tonight Show was right. Big because I, when I was a kid, I looked
like
up
that,
to it.
Yeah.
But for as far as putting
impact,
asses in seats for me and stuff, it's primetime is a beast. And that show was very good to me, you know.
Don't.
That's the best thing. Yeah. But then last year I did Champions. I went back for Champions and Simon gave me an X. And that was,
really?
Didn't hurt the career, but it was a kick in my ego's balls, you know. So
Really? Oh, yeah. That, it bothered you that he...
Yeah, the other judges liked me, the audience was great, and he was just, you know.
That's crazy.
And someone you know, I can't say who, but someone you know because they filmed it in September, who's a great comic, is getting an X tonight because they filmed it in September. It's airing tonight, AGT Champions is on tonight. And
it's already going to have aired, so I mean.
Well, then Natterman. Dan Natterman, who I think is a brilliant comic, gets an X.
Yeah.
The other three judges love him, standing ovation from the audience, and fucking Simon gives him the X.
Simon knows comedy. We all know
because
Simon
like gimmick shit.
The comment he says is Natterman said, and the producer swore they'd leave it in, was, you may be the gold standard when it comes to knowing music, but when it comes to comedy, you don't know your ass from your elbow. That's what he said to him on the air, and they're apparently going to air it. So
it's fun. When Natterman loses his shit, he loses his shit. Like,
he's a funny dude.
For as funny as
no way he deserved an X.
No doubt.
No way. I mean, there's no way you could say his name and think that he wouldn't have gotten... You know, God, it's just ridiculous. Same thing like with you. You're just talking about, like, come on. Years and years. I know how to do this.
The audience was, you know, very into it. And the other three judges were very into it. And he just wanted to be an asshole.
Advance?
Pardon me?
If you, I guess with the champions thing, you don't advance? Because I thought you still needed, like, if you had three people say yes, you could go through.
No, they pick two from a night. The audience picks one, and the audience is a bunch of people in the basement because it's pre-recorded 4 months earlier. They do it right at September, right after the last season because they already had the setup and they've already got the judges on place. So that's when they film the entire champion season in like a week. And so I had Paul Potts my night. I knew he was going to be one of the guys because he won Britain's Got Talent. He's the opera guy who's huge. And then I didn't know who the other one would be. And the audience voted in a little girl singer, so it was two girls. But even though
like
I got the X, I could have moved on.
Be involved. That drives me nuts.
No, I know.
That they let the kids be involved. They get that cute vote. You're like, I don't give a
or
fuck.
Or the sick vote. They get somebody that's missing something. Somebody died.
That's
and they eyeball be out. And then all of a sudden...
The wife
She's
and I
so
call
brave.
It America's Got Problems now because everybody, honestly, God, the guy who won it last year was a kid who was an autistic, blind singer. He won it. And 2 years
before.
How's
he going to carry on for an hour? God damn it.
I want to see him be like sexy to the bitches.
You got to have some horrible backstory or they won't move
on. I don't
want
to see his concert. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't want to see it.
Oh, he can't see it either. Hello. <he's blind. laughs> it's kind of a tear jerking show now. It's kind of fucked up, but
it's gotta have a gimmick now. You gotta have two gimmicks now.
They love that shit.
I know they do, but it used to be like you'd get that out in the semifinal. You get that early on. You get that nice sympathy, and then. But I think the more the illness, it's harder to vote. No,
yeah,
it's harder for the
sure
judges
it is.
To press an
sure
X.
It is. Like you're gonna vote down. You're gonna give an X. To the fucking the paraplegic
kid in a wheelchair,
the veteran who only has one leg, who plays guitar, or the girl who was in a plane crash. Honest to God,
the worst handicapped singer I've ever heard. Your career would be over.
Your singing made me wish I had gone to war. I lost my ears, so it's a no.
It's a no.
That's a pretty good impression.
It's gonna have to be a no.
It's gonna have to be.
Well, anyway, that's on tonight, and that's an injustice that your listeners will...
That Dan Natterman didn't make it through. That Dan Natterman got fucked over to another thing, right?
AG, Last Comic Standing. And I was there that night, too. Yeah, he got a standing ovation, and the judges let... Drew Carey was the celebrity judge, pounding the table. He was crying. He was laughing so hard. And then he and the other guy, the only two guys got standing ovations that night. Those two don't get in, and two people who got booed off the stage made it into the house because that's when they had the house
casting.
But they should have said, we're casting a show.
Yeah.
It was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. It said, when is reality not reality? And
yeah, it was a whole...
Because Drew Carey went right to the press and said, this is bullshit.
Well, they kept that in the show, too.
Yeah,
very little.
What's it, did that
Peter Engel was the executive producer, and he came out and said, well, the judges didn't realize that it says at the bottom in fine print, the final decisions are those of the NBC executives and the producers of the show. Well, then why do you have the
judges?
Why have the judges? Yeah.
And the judges were all pissed off.
There was one with, what you call it, what's the girl, the blonde chick from older comics had the series.
Brett Butler.
Brett Butler.
She was one of the judges.
Freaked out. Oh, the same night.
Yeah, same one. It was Drew, Brett Butler.
She freaked out.
And Anthony Clark was the third. He was on Yes, Dear, the comic.
Yeah, yeah.
And all three of them got furious. They walked out. They walked out, not when Natterin, but when Monty Hoffman, who was the other guy, got the standing ovation. When he didn't get announced to go into the house, they stood up and walked out. They were already livid about the Natterin thing. And then two people, and I love these two people, Todd Glass got booed off the stage. He came out and told a joke, and it failed. And he said, let's try this again. And he went off stage, and he came out and told the same joke. Mm-hmm. And the audience was like, we hated it the first time. We hate it even more now. Oh, wow. We hate you. Yeah. And he got booed off the stage. And Bonnie McFarlane, who's hysterical, one of the best female comics, she said the C word in the first 10 seconds on stage, thinking, I'm in Vegas. I can do this. But they're not Vegas people. These are people from the Midwest that came in for this. And they were shocked and horrified, and she could never recover from that. Both of them made it into the house that season. Mm. Natterman and Hoffman did not, among other things. And then Drew said that of the seven that they chose, only three of them made it in. Of the ten that – no, only ten that they chose, only three of them made it in, which means seven of their decisions were vetoed by the producers. And that's way more than half.
After that, they did a whole thing where they were like, we're not going to do this. A lot of the comedy judges were saying, we're not going to do this if it doesn't matter what we – there was a whole thing.
It was just Drew Carey and them were upset about it. But after that, everyone kind of knew what it was from that point on.
And then the show got canceled. Then it came back. Then it got canceled. Then it came back.
It's an easy show to keep bringing back.
Yeah. People are always interested in it. But, you know, you talk about Bonnie's – funny as shit, but Bonnie's edgy.
Oh, yeah.
And Todd Glass is funny as shit, but he's odd as fuck.
He's not everyone's cup of tea.
And so it's not, so you can't.
And those were both anomalies. Normally, those two slay, no matter where they go. It's just they had an off night that night. And so I also kind of understand the producers are thinking, we're not going to penalize them for just this one night, but this was the finals. You were going from 20 people down to 10, and the 10 moved into the comic house.
Yeah.
And Natterman was excluded. And he's a former lawyer.
Too. But, I mean, he also made it, too. So to say they didn't penalize them because it was for all – everybody who was there had to make it through each level, right? So fuck that. You got to go by whoever had the best set.
You should, and they did not that night. That's the problem, and that's why everyone – and Drew Carey's point was, look, hire someone else to be a judge. I'm a comic. I know where what they're feeling right now. It's not just a job. It's a dream, and you made me squash people's dreams who didn't deserve to have their dreams squashed tonight. And
that was
he felt really betrayed by the producers and everything. And
that was a rough one, but the other one was I think it was America's Got Talent. Joe Matarese took a – they got him good.
Yeah.
Where they added him. They had to get rid of him just because – They only take one comic a season, basically, if that. And it was not going to be Joe Matarese. He did a great – but so they have to find a way to get him off the show. So they edited it to make him look like he was bombing in front of the judges when he wasn't in front of the judges. He was performing for producers.
Uh-huh.
And they edited in the judges, and they made it – like, they edited his, like, delivery so it's no good and didn't put laughs in and just sabotaged him because they needed an out. And he – at least he went to the press with it and was like, jeez, you made – like – it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
this is a guy's career. Have any recourse for that?
There's no recourse. I don't know what the recourse
I will say this. His first tape, his first audition, he got a huge standing ovation. Yeah. They brought his wife and kids onto the stage. Uh-huh. It was like, you know, unbelievable. All the judges stood for him. That tape is already kicking open doors for him everywhere in the corporate market and everything. They just love that tape.
Right.
But the second round is where they thin the herd, and they make you perform in front of – I was in front of the judges, but no audience. There's no audience.
Right.
And that's how they can – and they tell the judges to be stone-faced, no matter if you're killing or if you're bombing, stone-faced. And that way, because it's pre-recorded, they can edit it anywhere. The joy of AGT is that right after that round, it goes live. So you're live for the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals.
So
you can't mess with live. You know, you can do the second – 7-second delay if someone swears or something, but that's it. That's the only thing you can manipulate.
Wow.
So, but pre-recorded, that's what Last Comic Standing was. They put the sound of crickets behind, I think, Stephen Scott and, not Matarese, Paul Mercurio at Gotham. There might be cockroaches,
but there wasn't.
There were no crickets in Gotham, and they did that just to humiliate them for no reason. When clearly, you know, they weren't
needed
done.
A narrative, unfortunately.
Yeah,
they needed a narrative of a bad comic.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That is fucked
that's
up.
That's bullshit. And you spend your whole life honing this craft, so
and then they pull that shit.
Yeah. And they put crickets in. Oh,
that's fucked up.
And it's prime time, so 20 million people watch that happen to
and
you.
And they don't know.
Was
anything.
Cats running it then or no?
That was the year. First year, Wanda Sykes took it over. I think Wanda Sykes owned it. Okay, she was the executive producer.
But Cats went
was
the whole.
Oh yeah, Cats is a creator. He and Jay Moore will always be attached to that title, at least that show.
Yeah, they're not involved
because they created the show.
Wow.
But, see, so like, all right, so something like that where you get your ego hurt, like how deeply does it affect you, Tom? You know, at this point in the game, I mean, you've been at it a long time. You know what you do, but you're still affected by that.
Simon gave me an X, and I sat on that because we filmed it in September. It aired in January. I had to sit on that all through Thanksgiving, Christmas, everything, and I couldn't tell anybody. They make you say you're silent and everything. But the whole time, like, holy shit, they're going to put it on primetime network television that Simon gives me an X.
Did you really? I mean, because you know he doesn't know anything about
comedy.
Yeah,
you know what? All we did is we cut it out in the video, and I now send that tape out.
Without the X?
Without the X, and it's the audience gives standing ovations to every single act on the show. They're kind of trained to do that, like SEALs. And the other three judges were so phenomenal, we just cut Simon out of it, and that tape has kicked open a shitload of doors, and I've gotten a lot of work out of it. So we made lemonade out of lemons, but for 4 months, I sat there going, holy shit, they're going to make me look like... But the week before it aired, I was performing in Atlantic City. The producer, one of the producers called and said, all right, look, we're editing the show. It's going to air next week. I want to let you know we're not going to throw you under the bus. We're going to show just like it happened. And the way it happened was the other three judges shit all over Simon for giving me the X. You know, they left that all in, thank God. Because, you know, if Simon gives you an X... And I had to keep going. Once you get that, that's the loudest sound you'll ever hear in your life. You had to keep going. Yeah. And then the audience and the other three judges turned on him. And so because I didn't want to show the X, I had to cut that out of the video. But the other three judges say really nice things, and the audience is great. So that tape has been great.
You were worried about how it was going to affect you in business.
Career-wise.
But you didn't question your ability.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. You know, it's 2 minutes. Yeah. You know, I've been at it 30 years. If I can't do 2 minutes, then I shouldn't be in the fucking business. So I was worried about, how it was going to play. And I was worried that some of the corporate gigs that I already had lined up, because, again, I got two tuitions on the horizon, I thought they were going to pull the plug and say, well, we don't want him now because Simon gave him an X. I really thought that was going to happen.
That's kind of nuts.
Never happened.
He's actually known as being an asshole, though. You know what I mean? So,
Well, yeah, but you don't
Bill
know.
Cosby
you don't
still
know
has some corporate gigs that nobody's canceled yet. They rarely ever cancel.
They were waiting to see if he gets out.
They just forgot about it.
Dude,
it's just on the calendar.
He was the corporate king for forever. He and John Panette, he made so much goddamn money doing corporate.
No doubt.
He was the man. He was the man. Yeah. He did them all. Every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he was fucking great at that. Is the other part?
What did they go for
then?
Back then, how much did they pay for
his contract? I heard was $100,000. This was in the '80s. $100,000. It was 95 for his performance and 5 for jet fuel. And the jet fuel was for his private plane to take him back to his estate in Western Massachusetts, where he lives, because he wanted to sleep in his own bed every night. That was it. And they no one ever batted an eyelash. They all paid it. My dad went to a doctor convention, and he was the act at that thing. And, you know, pharmaceutical companies paid for it, so they didn't care. But he and Panette made so much money under the wire. Nobody knows about the corporate market like we do because we're in the business.
Yeah.
But it is the deepest pockets by far, way more than colleges, way more than anything.
You know what else? Keynote speaking.
It's the same thing. It's the same budget.
Judy Clark, Judy, who does the magazine, the book? Judy,
the comedian book?
Yeah.
Judy Carter?
Judy Carter.
Oh, does she do a lot of that?
She does keynote speaking.
I didn't know that.
They do $10,000, you know, like it's dope. It's real.
They have budgets for that. Justin McKinney, you know Justin.
Yeah.
Justin used to do a college act, and he made, you know, $2,000 to do a college. Then he wrote, because he used to be a cop, he wrote in DARE, which is Don't Do Drugs, whatever that organization is. He wrote in 15 minutes about... staying off drugs. Now he makes $10,000 for the same act because he does freshman orientations and he does parents weekends and he does this thing. It's basically 45 minutes of a stand-up and 15 minutes of you probably shouldn't do drugs. And now he's making, instead of $2,000, $10,000 when he doesn't. Because it's, you know, that's just how that market works.
We've
got
to switch to religious comedy. We've got to switch the whole podcast.
Somebody told me I should do corporate. Not corporate comedy.
You can clean it up to
corporate,
do a corporate.
No, corporate speaking.
Sure, yeah, I think you could do that.
Corporate speaking.
I don't think your comedy, I don't think
no,
is a good
no.
idea. To...
What
am I? Motherfuckers.
I heard there's a lot of great pussy here at Exxon.
These bitches is fucking in here. Who fucking? Yeah. Who fucking? I said it.
Raise
I
your hand. You in the miniskirt. I know you fucking.
Oh, HR calling on line one.
Who's the hoe in the office? You know every office got one.
Oh, that's great.
Who's got... Which somebody tell me who the hoe. You look like you know where the hoe. Who are you?
Yeah.
The CEO? I know you know who the hoe is.
How many times you fuck on the copier?
That would be excellent. I'm hoping it.
And they would be like,
you got those Matt Lauer locks on your door? Or is that just for like NBC?
Here we go. We got to get that guy every year. And the lawyers would be like, oh, we can't.
Heads would roll.
Oh, my God. So many people would be fired. For you to end up doing a corporate gig, there would have to be so many mistakes made.
It would have to be a lot of people that just said, fuck it.
I think it's beyond that. It would have to be sabotage.
Somebody trying to get fired.
If they dangled the right money in front of you, you'd clean it up.
I would
You'd do it fine.
Yeah.
You're a pro. You've been at it a long time.
Fuck yeah.
Cleaning up just means there's no curses.
Not
topic
just,
wise,
not
it's whatever.
Just no
it's
curses.
It's a little more than we're so PC that you can't just eliminate fucking shit. You really have to be very careful about anything misogynist or anything, you know, sexist
or
politics.
Look, I would take my interracial gangbang joke and clean it up. You won't even recognize.
Just Disney-fy it. Yeah, make it a Disney joke. That's it. You're good. For the right money, I'll do anything. I'm a whore.
Yeah, damn. I think what you have to clean up and what Dante has to clean up is, I think you might have to make some minor adjustments here or there. I think Dante would have to be a whole different
I'd
person.
I'd be like, all right, let's just take all this out here and let's go down 10 feet.
Yeah.
Nope. I bet DiPaolo's done corporates. I bet Attell has done corporates. You dangle the right money in front of someone and say,
I could write if the money was right, I would.
You could hire writers to you know, some squeaky born again Christian clean guy and say, give me some of your jokes and go up and do it. You don't care if you take a beating, the check's going to clear.
That's true. They're not always the best
I have
gigs
taken
either.
A horrible beating at corporate events. So.
Really?
Yeah, because they're not always – it's a weird environment.
They,
they're not
sometimes
always
they don't
there
even
the
know
show.
The comic is going to be there.
That's, I did an IBM one where the whole room was filled with billiard tables. They had like 100 billiard tables.
Fuck.
So it was all billiard. And they thought, oh, we'll put a corner – little corner stage and have a comedian telling jokes while they're playing pool.
Whoa.
I go, really? But they paid me a ridiculous amount. And I went.
I mean, the worst is probably at a luncheon or something because people want to eat and just hang out and talk to people.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had somebody call me up for a swingers thing up at Poconos. They wanted me.
Who was that? IBM? which corporate was that?
It was the Swingers Association of America.
Wow.
Sa.
Take it. Take the gig.
And I was like, all right, look, first of all, if you go to any swingers, it's fucking awful. It's not what you think it is at all. It's your aunt fucking butt-ass naked, thigh-highs that only go up to her calf. That's what's going down. So there's that. So as soon as they go that, I go, and how long am I going to do? He goes, 15 minutes. I go, where? He goes, the Poconos. I go, $6,000. He goes, and then we're going to want you to introduce the midget wrestling. I go, $9,000. Well, we don't have that kind of, you know.
Well, you don't have me then.
Because if I got to go, if I got to introduce midget wrestling and I drive home, I want 9 stacks. I want to be able to count. I can feel like this was worth it.
Yeah.
This was worth, listen, little people are people too. For $9,000.
For $9,000. It had nothing to do with the little people, whatever it is. They wanted extra.
Somebody we know did the gig. They're in the pool fucking the whole time. They wanted you to do it by the pool. They're all in there. It's like your fucking aunts and uncles fucking in the pool. Nobody's watching the fucking...
Nobody wants to see the comedy. People always think a comedy would be a good idea, like to enhance it,
Idiots.
But it has to be its own thing.
Yeah, it's yeah. Not
it can never
it can
be,
never be
an
background
addition.
Music. That's right. The thing. It's like a poet or a minister or a comedian. Anytime you're speaking, you need to be heard.
You
can't have
other activities.
You know,
going
I'm not
on.
A jazz musician. You can put in the corner and just have it background music.
Throw change in my fucking case. I get called for some gig, we wanted to do some comedy up at this place. I go, okay. So before we go, we need a stage. I need a spotlight.
Good lighting. Great sound.
I need a sound system, a clear sound system. She goes, well, we usually have bands and stuff, and they do it like right over by the fire pit. I go, okay, let's try this again. We need a stage. She goes, well, let me talk to the guy. Maybe you should come in. I go, okay, let's try it again. Yeah. Stage.
You're not hearing me.
Because we've all done it. Oh. I did a gig with two... ice cream parlor, wooden chairs. The ice cream parlor.
What is an ice cream parlor?
That was your stage. You stood on those.
I stood on two chairs.
Ice cream parlor.
I stood on a bar stool once. Yeah.
Stood on two chairs and rickety ass chairs and did stand up in a fucking Mexican restaurant.
Oh,
right.
Jesus.
With no microphone.
And you didn't have a voice for the next 3 days.
Yelled out into the fucking restaurant.
Those days are done.
Yeah.
Oh. No microphone? Yeah. Oh, my God.
No microphone.
I remember going to a gig. First road gig was a gig in Long Island, but it was like 3 hours. One of those is like all the way at the end of the island. And we get to the thing, right? And it's like Guido City, whatever. And the guy pulls up in his fucking white Cadillac, and he comes out. He's got sunglasses at night with a gold chain around his neck. He goes, what's going on tonight? We go, there's a stand-up comedy show. And he was like, all right. And then he immediately got in his car, shut the door, and pulled out of the parking lot. And I should have known then, this was a fucking bad idea.
Bad omen.
Yeah.
We got in there, and sure enough, there was a sound system that only heard part of the bar. Mm. They didn't turn off the TVs. Just everything.
No, I just got caught fucking around with somebody. I'll tell you who it is, so they never call you for. We're fucking around with somebody asked me to do a gig, and I'm in... And usually the alarm goes off. Yeah. So they go, it's up in Harlem Hookah. And I don't know why I didn't go, ping, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Right? So I go up there and I'm like.
You lost me a hookah. We're not doing the hookah bar.
I get there and the person's like, I need you to get here because the show is a proper.
Yo, they always do that shit.
And I fuck with this dude. So I was like, all right, maybe it's like if you called me for a gig, I would, I would just expect it to be what it's supposed to be.
I wouldn't set you up to fail.
Exactly. Yeah. I get there. They just grab the fucking cordless mic and just jump up and start talking.
Yep.
Just people sitting around, waitresses walking back. It's dark as fuck. They can't see your face, can't see your facial expressions. And I'm like, what? And I, the dude that is such a legit, he's like a regular. I didn't even ask how much it was because I just assumed like a $50 gig.
Oh, no.
At the,
what was this again? What for the gig? Or you didn't say?
I didn't say who it was. Right. I don't want to say who it is.
Say it off the air.
I'm driving home. I want to just get in the shower. I've gotten past this to the point where I just, why the fuck did I do that? And
that's a horrible ride home too, isn't
it? And I did fine because we've been in the clubs racking and cracking so long that you can pull some. But it just was like, why? And I said to the dude, I said, why would you? Oh, this was an impromptu thing. You booked me for this 3 weeks ago. It's not impromptu.
Impromptu.
And he goes, they do it once a month. That is also not impromptu. Once a month is not impromptu.
You don't know what the word impromptu means. This seems like very impromptu. It's nothing but prompt.
This is prompt on nothing but prompt.
Looking at the calendar, there's a poster there.
Oh, shit.
All the days.
Every month,
it's
once a month.
Off,
it's marked.
They caught me off guard, bro. Call me off guard. You called me on the
2017. The post.
That room's got to be gone because if you couldn't make it work, if it was tough for you, then it's going to be tough for fucking everybody.
Like,
there's no way it should last.
It was a money grab. I said, I don't. But they're asking you. I was like, could you turn the tell them to turn the TVs off? He says, oh, I spoke to the owner. He said no. He said, I was like, dog, why would you do this? Why would you disrespect yourself like this? Why, if they, well, they asked me to do it and they gave me a budget. I go, well, ask them to get you a light and a,
yeah,
like they don't know. Mm-hmm. If you don't tell them, they'll never know.
It was in Harlem. Maybe they thought it was like the Apollo, where the guy comes out with the hook and gets you off the stage. Or
got
something.
A stage.
They got lights.
And a light.
That guy who comes out with the Sandman, he's very well lit. Yeah. Everybody can see. Well,
everybody sees can the see Sandman. Him hook.
You see him come out. You see the broom. He can do the broom. You see him shaking the broom.
Spotlight on that.
Everything. They got music for him. Music cues.
Oh, I know his son. Lights.
You know his son?
Yeah.
Is,
yeah,
really? Son? Yeah. Is the Sandman still alive? Same Sandman?
No, Sandman's dead, but I mean, it was. I knew his son that used to. His, the other one that used to do it.
Do they still have the Sandman up
you
there?
C.P. You know? Lacey used to do it. You remember him?
No.
C.P. Lacey used to do comedy in the. In Washington Square Park. Like,
oh, God. That's a few of those guys.
Yeah, but that. You know the crew, the guy that used to do the Michael Jackson and yeah. Like him. C.P. Lacey was. He became the Sandman.
Street performer then.
Yeah.
Those guys make bank if they're good.
Yeah. And he had a good hustle. But Tom, thank you so much for coming, man. Plug all your stuff. Anything going on?
Yeah. I'm going next week. Rehab, and then after. No. Where am I going? Jesus.
You got an album?
Oh. I got a DVD or a CD, and then I have a book called Bad Dad, which is. I just did Huckabee on the Christian Broadcasting Network, and the guy. I did it right before Father's Day. Huckabee holds up the book and says, "You should buy this," to all these Christians. So they're all emailing me going, "You're evil. You're horrible," because they read the book. So anyway, the book is not for the easily offended. No. And so, but that's available on Amazon. And then, yeah, I'm just touring. I'm all over the goddamn place. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Nice. Thanks for coming, John. Love you, dude. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, man.
Honor. Trey, talk to me.
Yo, Andre D. Thompson on all the stuff. Just hit me up, yo. Instagram, Twitters, and whatnot.
Harry?
You go to my website, ihatecomedy.com. That's where all my information is. Catch me on Capital Wrestling every week. We do new episodes all out on YouTube, the Fight Network, the whole thing. Check it out.
Everything with me, you can check The Dante Nero on Instagram and go to DanteNero.com. You know I do the one-on-one consultations. Just hit me at DanteNero.com. Click on consult. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution be a podcast. And I love y'all. Tell a friend. The Patreon is almost up. Get ready. We are out.